Are those actually goats from y'all's farm in the background?
I love it. That's great.
Caprine Dairy, a goat milk nutritional facts that y'all have posted on your website.
I believe we do.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And basically what we touched upon already, our goat milk is A2 milk. So it carries the A2 beta casein protein, which makes it lactose intolerant, friendly, and hypoallergenic. For people that are challenged by consuming cow milk.
So, Jennifer, can we call you out on that? You have to stay away from traditional ice cream, but you're inhaling this gelato here.
Telling on me. It is absolutely delicious. I really do miss ice cream. It is just very – you cannot tell it's not ice cream. It's delicious. You've done a great job on the flavors.
Thank you. Well, I think the vanilla bean paste, the Madagascar bean paste, 2 ounces represents 12 vanilla beans being scraped. And wow. So it's a very premium product, and it adds a warmthness to the vanilla as opposed to vanilla extract. You can actually taste the alcohol in vanilla extract, where it's not detectable in the bean paste.
But we have to go back to these mama goats and the breed. I mean, to me, I feel like part of this is the breed when it's coming to the quality gelato that you guys are producing and the quality goat milk.
It really is the Oberhasli breed.
Yeah, sometimes people are intimidated to try goat milk because they feel it
tastes really goaty.
Yes.
I don't know how to say that. Yeah.
These are a very fine quality animal. Their product isn't abundant. They don't produce a large amount per goat, but the quality of and the flavor of the amount they do produce is
And they're a rare breed. It. They were introduced into the U.S. in, I think, 1980.
Maybe somewhere, but mm-hmm. I think 1935.
Five goats they brought from Europe.
And they're not necessarily known for making the best goat cheese. Now, we've got some of correct. Our goat farms here, and they make, I think of Crow's Dairy. Yeah. And
awesome
their
cheese.
Goat
yeah. Really nice body cheese.
Wendell does a great job.
Flavor. And it's because of their breed. So really, mm-hmm. what you guys are doing here is identified more with the milk and the gelato. So these different breeds will produce different quality flavorings.
Oh, yes, yeah. broad flavor and fat profile.
Okay, broad mm-hmm. flavor. That makes sense to me.
Therein lies our need to be innovative in expanding the production capacity of goat dairies in general. The U.S. is about 10 to 15 years behind Europe and other parts of the world right. in goat dairy production and consumer consumption. And we're pioneering goat dairy nutrition, and we're opening new product opportunities. So we have an educational role to our consumers, not only on the health and nutritional benefits of goat milk, which is a brilliant experience when we get to witness people taste goat milk or our gelato for the first time, and they're floored by when you visited us up at the farm.
I was a little bit hesitant to try the goat milk, but yeah. I love it. But
the stigma is hard to overcome.
Yeah.
We see that every day. It's, mm-hmm. it's a wonderful experience.
And it's you guys are also evident to me that we see this in a lot of the families, too, that are generational. You get to say that you're generational because you grew up on a dairy farm. The Crows, they had a traditional bovine dairy farm, and now they're into goats. And we just had them on, Mr. Rovey, Paul Rovey, they're doing sheep. So yes. It's that we're really discovering some of the other opportunities with some of the other breeds of animals.
And they're a low water drinking animal,
oh, there you
which
go.
Is
low
better
water
for the
use.
Environment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. low water
especially
use
in our desert environment.
Yeah, here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Well, we should mention some of the other candy. Do we still have that list? We were going to highlight some of the other candies just because this was our...
Candy Attic in Tempe. Treat Center on Courthouse Square in Prescott. That's on the south side to the south of Commander's Palace. Campus Candy and Yogurt in Tucson. Should be self-explanatory where that is. Yeah. Probably pretty close to U of A, I would imagine. Zach's Chocolate in Scottsdale and Cactus Candy in Phoenix. Cactus Candy and Soretta Candies both partner with Rosie on the House in the Arizona Staycation. And I love the point you made earlier. You know, a lot of times when we're talking with our Farm Bureau members and the different you know, whether it's dairy that they're producing or carrots or radishes or lettuce, you know, that's one item. The candy, the amount of different ingredients they're pulling from multiple different farms and multiple different crops to make these.
Right. The majority of those candy stores that you listed are using some type of ag product, and that's what makes it so neat here in Arizona, because our agriculture is so diverse. And so if it's an ingredient that they can get local to put into their candy, they will, and that's what makes it pretty special for us.
And we'll post a link to this article at the end of this hour with all the additional resources, including a link to Capri Dairy and all the places you can find it. But y'all had mentioned earlier that you're going to be where after this?
AJ's Fine Food on Central and Camelback.
Okay, that is northeast corner, I believe.
Yes.
And you'll be there at 11 o'clock?
Yes.
And you have free pints of...
We have samples of gelato, and we have a limited supply of pints to give away to customers that mentioned us, that they heard us on the radio.
Julie, you said it was a very obvious when they pulled up. Describe this vehicle so anybody that wants to go try this gelato and enjoy ice cream that you may not have otherwise because of the... What is it?
Lactose intolerant.
Friendly.
Lactose friendly, yes. Yeah. So it looks like a little mini ice cream truck. It's all white, and then of course it's got the great Caprime Dairy logo of, and in fact it features the face of your goat breed, correct?
Yes, it does.
Mavis.
Mavis. And it's awesome.
You weren't lying. They're all named.
They are. Yeah.
Mavis is on the logo.
If you say hi to Mavis, she'll say it.
So you actually have a Mavis. She's
yes,
actually
yes.
Uh-huh. And is she a serious mama, a serious producer too?
She's a good producer, yeah. But she's got a really beautiful long neck, and she's a tall goat.
Her mother's red, a redhead, which is a rare color pattern we've had come out in the breed.
A stripeless
one. So you picked her for her mother, her modeling attributes then is what I'm gathering.
Yes. I have pictures of her as a child.
You guys get kind of attached to the goats, don't you?
Oh, yes. They're very interactive. They're similar to a dog, except they're a little less intelligent.
Don't you think they're kind of in between a domestic animal and a livestock animal?
Mm-hmm.
They're not quite even.
If they could live in the house, they would love it.
And they would make a mess everywhere.
And that's why they exactly. can't live in the house.
So, if you talk to Rhonda Crow, too, I think they've named all their goats, and she just loves her goats.
They're all registered, so you kind of have to come up with a name, which forces you to name them all.
Oh,
so.
Really?
But thinking of that many female names is a challenge.
We ask friends of ours to have their children give us names.
We get
a lot of Zoes.
Yeah. submit names for our goats via our website or via Facebook.
Well, please.
And if Mavis is famous and she's going to have babies, you just need to say Mavis 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then you've got it covered, right?
A succession.
Well, that would be easy, yes.
The other thing.
Yellow 35.
Yeah.
like Lassie.
The other thing we should mention is one of the biggest reasons we're doing this is National Candy Month, and also June is National Dairy Month. So I thought this was a appropriate combination. And we can highlight these things because they're worthy of celebration, and it's neat here in Arizona because we have a very significant dairy industry. Of the top two commodities in the state of Arizona, it's beef and dairy. And they kind of rotate back. It's kind of like this competition. But what the USDA does is aggregates the cash receipts from the different states, and they can identify what agriculture commodities are the largest. So one year, sometimes it's Arizona beef. Another year, it might be Arizona dairy. And root for our dairies right now, because the hundredweight for price on milk has gone up. But I tell you, they've been had slumped prices for dairy for quite some time. So.
And I wasn't aware until we started working with the Farm Bureau that agriculture brings in more money than tourism into the state of Arizona.
We're considered one of the top ranking economic generators. Right now we're a $23.3 billion industry, and we assess that about every 3 years. We commission U of A and their economic they have another dream team. I call them U of A's economic dream team, too. And they will assess, they go out and assess, they also use the USDA numbers, and that is what allows us to know what the value of our ag industry in the state of Arizona is. And that's what makes it so special. So we've had an increase prior to just releasing it, I think about a year and a half ago, it was $17 billion. Well, now we're at $23 billion. And it's farms like yours, Kapreme Dairy, mm-hmm. that allow us to contribute to that economic engine that's Arizona agriculture.
Exactly. This country is built on agriculture. Arizona is built on agriculture. And Kapreme is a rural agricultural enterprise. And when a consumer buys local, they are supporting local farmers, jobs, and economic development in rural Arizona.
Thank you for saying that. The other thing I like to highlight is it's a prime industry. If you don't have agriculture, if you don't have forestry, if you don't have mining, and you don't have fishing, all of the other sectors, your secondary and your tertiary industries cannot exist because we're actually generating something. And our biggest generators are our soil and our sun, weather. We have wonderful climate here. So, yes, agriculture is so important to every state in the union. And, of course, we want agriculture because we want to eat, you know. And every country that can feed itself is a more secure country. So,
now, not on your website, but I don't know if this is something y'all have considered breaking into or not. You said you have 75 goats you're milking today. You've got 50 babies on the way. Is there a time you would consider selling these goats to somebody that may want to milk them themselves?
I don't think we've ever sold any female we've ever produced.
No. Well, it's such a rare breed that you can't just go buy an Oberhasli.
I know. You guys could get a premium for it.
I suppose. But they just need – their purpose is to be in dairies.
They enjoy being in the collective family that they're in.
Yeah, they're in herds, family herds.
They all have – it's a family unit.
Gary made a brilliant choice in choosing this breed early on and has committed nearly 10 years of a methodical breeding program that is – introduced the improvements in this breed where we really have a proprietary high-value breed now. And our herd is, you know, as the industry continues to emerge, we open the discussion with larger producers to partner with them or some sort of strategic partnership or acquisition.
And what's so cool is you're doing it right here in Arizona. It's pretty cool.
I milked La Manchas for a couple years for our family, and it was really hard to find the mama, and then you needed a dad because they have to have a baby first, and then, you know, you miss one day after about that 6 or 7 month period, and they immediately start to dry up, and you know it was a lot of fun, and it was great to be able to go outside in the morning, milk your goats, come in, and you know that was part of your breakfast that day along with the eggs we were getting from the chickens. It's just, as the kids grew up and our rodeo schedule got so much, we traveled too much to be able to milk them on a regular basis. And they're more our weed control right now. They just kind of – we stake them out with our water and they take care of our weed management. But the amount of different people looking for resources for milking themselves, that might be one more venture or area of revenue income for y'all.
You know what else you might consider, because you mentioned to me before the show started that you are looking to the opportunity of agritourism, where people can schedule appointments and come and visit the farm, see your unique breed of goat and all that fun stuff. Well, if they can buy product on the farm, you should give them the Farm Bureau discount. A lot of my pitching Farm Bureau, because a lot of my direct market or retail farmers, they will offer a discount to Farm Bureau members.
That's
when
a
they
great
go,
idea.
Yeah, when they go onto the farm.
We'd love to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
And have like a designated 5 or 6 goats that people could milk themselves and take that with them.
For the full experience.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just consult with Romy and I and we'll help you out.